Chapter 11. Dr. Seward's Diary.
September 18th. Oh, what we found this morning at the Westenra home. After finding the servants all drugged and asleep on the floor of the dining room, the professor and I ran up to Lucy's room. Both she and her mother were lying in bed. Her mother was dead and had a terribly frightened look on her face. Lucy herself was very white, and her neck was badly injured. Her eyes were wide open, and she seemed as dead as her mother. Van Helsing put his ear to her chest, and then suddenly shouted for me to get some whiskey, and then to awaken the servants and get a warm bath and fire ready. Once everything was ready, we placed poor Lucy in the warm water and began to rub her arms and legs. Van Helsing was determined to keep her alive. Much to my surprise, Lucy's body began to respond to the heat, and I soon could once again hear her heart beating more clearly. The professor then ordered a servant to watch Lucy, while he and I went downstairs to discuss the situation. "I don't know what to do now," Van Helsing said. "We need blood. But neither one of us can give it. We need a strong man's blood." "How about mine?" came a voice from across the dark room. We turned and found Quincy Morris sitting on the couch. He had come 30 minutes ago, but the servants were so busy that they forgot to tell us. Van Helsing immediately got his equipment ready, and soon Quincy's blood was flowing into our nearly dead Lucy. The operation was less successful this time. However, her breathing became normal. After taking Quincy downstairs to drink some wine and rest, I returned to Lucy's room and found the professor reading a piece of paper. "This was in her dress," he said, handing the paper to me. It had been written by Lucy. I read it carefully and became very upset. "Has she gone crazy?" I asked. "Don't worry too much about it now. In the future, you'll understand things much better." Over the next couple of days, I watched Lucy carefully as she slept. I noticed that it was easier for her to breathe at those moments than when she was awake. Once, when her mouth was slightly open, I noticed that her teeth seemed to be longer and more pointed than before. Arthur was soon written to and told to come, for Lucy had begun to ask for him. By the time he arrived, she was sleeping more and more often. When she woke up and saw him there, she became happier than she ever had been recently. Arthur did his best not to show the deep sadness that he felt within himself. They had a very pleasant and hopeful conversation until she became too tired to speak any longer. I am to replace Van Helsing and Arthur, who are watching over her now, in about 15 minutes. I fear that this will be her last day. She is much too weak to fight for her life.
Letter to Lucy Westenra from Mina Harker. September 17th. Dear Lucy, Jonathan and I have finally returned to England. We've been staying with his boss, Mr. Hawkins. It's so wonderful to be back. Jonathan's health has been improving steadily, although he still often wakes up in the middle of the night from terrible dreams. Great news! Mr. Hawkins has made Jonathan a partner in his business and has told us that he is leaving everything to us when he dies. Let's pray that that does not happen any time soon. He's asked us to live with him in his large home. It's so beautiful. I can't possibly explain to you how much I love it here. I'm dying to know about you. I haven't heard from you in such a long time. Your wedding day is approaching. Is everything ready? Write me soon. Love, Mina. Report from Dr. Patrick Hennessy to Dr. John Seward.
Dr. Seward, much has happened with patient Renfield while you have been away. He had a very violent day recently. It started when two men came to the house next door to the hospital to remove some boxes from it. As they were leaving with several boxes on their cart, Renfield began shouting horrible things at them from his window. Moments later, he broke through the bars and began to run after them. When my men and I caught up with him, we found him on top of one of the movers, banging the poor worker's head against the hard ground. We pulled him off the man and did our best to keep hold of him. As you know, his strength is incredible, and it took five men to finally get him under control. I took the two workers out for a beer and gave them a little money in order to calm them down, for they were quite ready to get the police involved. I took down their names and will leave the report on your desk. Dr. Patrick Hennessy.
Letter to Lucy Westenra from Mina Harker. September 18th. Dear Lucy, terrible news. Our kind friend, Mr. Hawkins, has just died. Many people think that Jonathan and I should be happy because he left us all of his money. However, we are much more sad to lose him. We will be coming to London for the funeral. I will try and pay you a short visit while I am there. Love, Mina. Dr. Seward's Diary.
September 20th. This is the saddest time of my life. Sometimes there is so much sadness in this world that I cannot bear living. Mrs. Westenra has died. Arthur's father has died. And, oh, it's so difficult to write. Around 6 o'clock in the evening, while I was watching over Lucy, Van Helsing came in to see how she was doing. She looked terrible. Her face was even whiter than before, and she had no strength at all. The professor looked at her neck and whispered to himself, "My God." I then looked as well and found that the two red holes were gone. "She will be dead very soon," Van Helsing said. "Go get Arthur from the dining room downstairs. He should be here." I found Arthur sleeping on a couch. He did not take the news well at all. Tears filled his eyes, and he nearly fell over when trying to stand. I helped him up the stairs and into Lucy's bedroom. When he entered, Lucy opened her eyes and immediately asked him to come to her and give her a kiss. I noticed that her voice was not normal. There was more strength in it than there should have been. As Arthur bent down to kiss her, Van Helsing grabbed him and threw him back with all of his strength. I looked down at Lucy and saw that her eyes looked very angry, and her mouth seemed full of long, sharp teeth. I did not know what to think. She then closed her eyes, and her breathing became difficult once again. Arthur looked confused and upset. I, too, did not understand things, but trusted the professor's judgment. Minutes later, Lucy stopped breathing. "She's gone," announced Van Helsing. I accompanied Arthur out of the room and then returned to help the professor. I found him looking very seriously at Lucy. Somehow, she looked better, almost healthier, than she had a few minutes before. "I'm glad that her suffering is over," I said. "It's not over," Van Helsing replied. "In fact, it's just begun. You will see what I mean later on."